From South Dakota Public Broadcasting, this is your SDPB News Podcast. I'm Jackson Dirks. Today, three criminal justice bills head to the Senate. We'll also look at the latest on property tax relief discussions in Pierre. We'll close out with a look at one conversation about an athlete at Aberdeen Christian. It's Thursday, January 15th. Here are today's stories. Three of Attorney General Marty Jackley's criminal justice bills advance out of the state Senate Judiciary Committee. One of the bills enhances penalties for possessing and delivering controlled substances within state correctional facilities. It also makes ingestion of a controlled substance for inmates and parolees a felony. The bill advanced in a 4-2 vote. Those against the bill oppose the ingestion provision. The committee also heard testimony on a bill to allow law enforcement to search and seize digital currency during an investigation, as well as a bill to ban the creation and distribution of AI-generated pornography of an adult without consent. Both passed out of committee 6-0. All three bills head to the Senate floor. Property taxes are possibly the biggest debate of 2026 in South Dakota. With gubernatorial and legislative elections around the corner, any one of the nearly two dozen proposals may be a catalyst for the future of the state. SDPB's CJ Keene reports.
Governor Larry Roden's property tax relief plan would allow counties to consider a half-cent sales tax to go hand-in-hand with reduced rates on owners. Despite the sheer volume of options on the table, Roden says he believes he can cut through the noise.
There are a lot of proposals out that are completely miss the mark. When we had heard a certain proposal here a while back, it took me about 10 minutes to put the numbers together as far as what it represented and how badly it missed the mark as far as providing relief to the areas that need it most.
Roden is referring to a proposal from Congressman Dusty Johnson, who many perceive as his main rival in the 2026 Republican gubernatorial primary. Representative Johnson's proposal would offer $400 in tax credits to property owners and deferral of property tax payments by 2 years for first-time homebuyers. In a statement, Johnson writes, quote, South Dakotans are getting squeezed by rising property taxes. It keeps our state on solid financial footing, protects our law enforcement and public school funding, and provides real relief to every homeowner. In a recent interview, Johnson said the governor's budget address amounted to, quote, shrugging of the shoulders. In turn, Roden says if relief is the goal for state government, the Johnson proposal doesn't offer enough, especially to the counties most in need.
Under that proposal, they would see about an 8% reduction in their property tax on owner-occupied. Under my proposal, it was 50%. They would see dramatic results and reduction under my proposal. And it wasn't just Johnson that proposed that. I think Hansen had also. You know, they were scuffling back and forth on whose idea it was, so they can scuffle all they want. It misses the mark.
Roden says those most impacted counties are Lincoln, Pennington, and Minnehaha. I'm SDPB's CJ Keene in Pierre.
Governor Larry Roden issues an executive order creating guardrails on the Future Fund, a fund supported by a tax on employers. By statute, the governor has the sole authority to administer dollars from the funds for economic development. Roden's executive order includes further guidelines on the fund, posting disbursements on the OpenSD website, grants to be awarded on a reimbursement basis, and requiring a conflict of interest policy in place for grant recipients. Roden explains his thinking on the executive order.
For the most part, this is exactly the way we've done business, and I support what we've done in the decisions we've made in the past. In my view, the executive order, I think is just to put in writing and give the legislators a comfort level. This is what we're looking at when we're making these decisions on future fund projects.
Some legislators have looked at creating more accountability over the fund. One bill would have funds approved by the Economic Development Board. Lieutenant Governor Tony Venhuizen says that waters down accountability.
You need to have a tool that is flexible and that can act quickly. And I think a positive thing about the Future Fund is that there is one person who's accountable, the governor. It's not the governor in some committee. It's not the governor in some board. It's not diffused across a lot of people. There's one person calling the shot. And if you like a grant, you know who gets the credit. And if you have questions about the grant, you know who to talk to about it. It's one person. So there are bills that would say, oh, this board or that board. I actually see that as taking a step back in terms of holding people accountable.
This is the latest in a saga of conversations over the fund after some lawmakers questioned expenditures made by the Noem administration. Following the 2026 State of the Tribes address, Governor Larry Rodin met with over 50 dignitaries from 8 of the state's 9 tribal entities. Rodin says he left the private meeting feeling optimistic about the future of state-tribal relations.
There were things that we were palms up with them as far as some of the concerns, some of the areas that we disagreed on, and we agreed to disagree, and we had more conversation. As we walked out of the room, we had built a relationship, and I think we'll continue to build on that. It was a product of just open, honest conversation.
State-tribal relations effectively collapsed during the administration of former Governor Kristi Noem, who was at one point banned from every single reservation in the state. That came following tribal sovereignty disputes during the pandemic and Noem commenting that Native children, quote, had no hope.
Legislative coverage on SDPB is supported by the South Dakota Bar Foundation, SDN Communications, Missouri River Energy Services, and your membership in the Friends of SDPB. Thank you.
Oglala Sioux tribe leaders say they've notified federal authorities that several tribal members are being held illegally by immigration authorities. That's according to a statement from Oglala Sioux President Frank Starr comes out. He says 4 tribal members were detained by Immigration and Customs Enforcement, or ICE, in Minnesota. 1 was released, 3 are still in custody. Starr comes out, says the arrests constitute a direct violation of treaties, federal law, and constitutional protections. The tribe is demanding immediate release of all enrolled tribal citizens under immigration authority and written assurance detentions will cease. The city of Sioux Falls continues to grow. City leaders say the community welcomed 5,000 new residents in 2025, bringing the total population to over 224,000. That's an increase of 2%, which officials say aligns with the city's long-term growth rate. The city also saw a total construction valuation of $1.3 billion last year. That's the second highest year on record, and also marks a 5th straight year valuations surpassed $1 billion. Officials say valuations were driven largely by commercial development. New housing developments decreased slightly compared to recent years. New single-family homes totaled 357, the lowest in the past decade. A former equestrian coach at South Dakota State University is being indicted after authorities say she used school resources for personal use. Kamara Brown is charged with 1 felony count of grand theft. Attorney General Marty Jackley says Brown used SDSU resources to pay for expenses for her personal horses. That included vet bills and boarding costs. If found guilty, she faces up to 10 years in prison. Governor Larry Rodin signs an executive order renaming the Bureau of Information and Telecommunications. The department will soon be known as the Bureau of Information Technology. The Bureau, commonly called under its acronym BIT, formally updated its name last year. Rodin says formally renaming it reaffirms the state's commitment to technology and innovation. The name change takes effect April 13th. SDPB falls under BIT's umbrella within state government. On this week's Your Morning in Play, one leader at Aberdeen Christian is leading his team by faith.
Hello, this is Your Morning in Play. I'm SDPB's Jackson Dirks with sports content producer Nate Weck.
Hey Jackson, how are you doing today?
Good, how about yourself?
Doing well.
So there is a story up on SDPB's website right now about a young man who's had a pretty big impact at Aberdeen Christian in both being a leader for the team and in his faith and stuff, I guess. What could you tell me about that?
Yes, there's a young man who is a senior this year up in, as you mentioned, Aberdeen Christian. His name is Jet Johnson, and as a senior, you know, you always sort of think about the leadership that the upperclassmen and stuff like that have for teams, whether, you know, it doesn't matter what community, doesn't really matter what sport or activity it might be. Underclassmen typically will lean on those senior leaders. And it's the same sort of deal in Aberdeen Christian. And yeah, Jed Johnson considers himself to sort of be a leader and things like that with the basketball team. He loves basketball. It's his favorite sport, all that type of stuff. Even though he's dabbled with, you know, football, he obviously plays that too. A lot of kids in some of the smaller schools, they do obviously play quite a few different sports and are involved in different activities. But what's really been the thing that has, I guess you could say, molded him into a leader has been his faith. And he was pretty open with me about, you know, there was a point in time where I hadn't really found myself yet, and I was struggling with this and that and this and that. You know, none of them serious things, but could be as simple as just like confidence, right? So he basically dove deeper into his faith, and when he did that, it presented himself with more confidence. He found more directions of things he wanted to do or try in life. He really credits his role as now a basketball player and the leadership qualities that he has as a basketball player to the strengthening in his faith that he encountered. And the other thing that is pretty cool with him as well is he leads a Bible study at Aberdeen Christian, and they meet every Tuesday morning. Most of the members of the basketball team are actually in this Bible study as well. And it's very simple. It's much like what you think of when you think of like what a Bible study is, but it's also another way too for kids on the team to even just have like the social aspect of it as well, to get together on a time when there's no basketball going on. So, you know, him, his dad's a pastor, preacher as well. So it was sort of a thing where he had seen his dad sort of doing the same thing. And he's like, you know, I think I could do this too at the level in high school that I'm at with some of the kids. Yeah, it's just kind of a cool story. Jet's very humble. He's, you know, he's very well spoken too for high school kids. And he's just seems to have a very good grasp on who he is, certain things that he can achieve.
Yeah, so you said that obviously his faith has sort of lead him in a lot of places. And I think you mentioned his confidence. I guess, I mean, obviously confidence is a pretty big deal on the basketball court. Did he mention anything specifically about what he takes into that whenever he's actually on the court and he's playing, where a lot of people are probably actually going to see him?
Yeah, you know, he did talk a little bit about that too. He did say, you know, that there are instances where he'll still mess up, or sometimes maybe he'll say something he shouldn't, or not necessarily like something bad, but just maybe say something that's not maybe as supportive to a different member of the team as he thought. And he says that his faith has just helped him too with just having more of self-accountability, and that all just kind of comes from the confidence that he has in his core.
And so you said he's a senior, so obviously next year he's probably got some plans for what he's going to do post high school. What did he tell you about that, or what else is he doing?
Yeah, so he basically wants to go into, it sounds like, a business degree up in Fargo at North Dakota State University. Now, I did tell him, I said, I know it's hard to believe since you live in Aberdeen, but it is a little bit colder in Fargo than it is in Aberdeen. And he thought that was kind of funny too. He goes, most people go somewhere a little warmer, right? But yeah, he goes, I'm going to go up to Fargo. He's working on getting his insurance license, and then he wants to pursue a business degree up there. So he's super stoked about that, obviously. But he did say too, you know, I've got a few months left of my high school basketball career and things like that too. So he says he's really excited to just see what the next few months bring.
And I guess before we go, I mean, tell me about the Knights and Aberdeen Christian, how they've been doing so far on the court this year. What are we expecting? What's coming up?
Yeah, you know, Aberdeen Christian is a team that has really popped here the last, I guess, 6-7 years. They've, you know, they just kind of came to fruition with basketball, where they started having success, and they've been able to kind of consistently the last few years find themselves back at that B tournament. And they do have the advantage too whenever they go to state, because they're in Class B, state tournament's always in Aberdeen for B boys. So they do have a lot of fan support and stuff like that I've seen over the years of covering B tournament in Aberdeen. But yeah, this year, you know, they're doing pretty well so far. You know, they're 6-1 on the season so far. You know, they've got a few quality wins over teams like Leola Frederick, Warner, Woolsey, Wessington. They also have a Class A win over Del Rapids as a B school, which is also a big deal. So, you know, they're kind of finding their groove. Teams will grow throughout the season. Some teams start hotter than others, right? And, you know, you play the schedule you're dealt.
You can find Nate Weck's story about Jet Johnson at sdpb.org/sports-rec. And that's your daily news update. Make sure to follow us on Facebook, X, and YouTube at SDPB News, and visit sdpb.org/news to stay up to date on our journalism as it comes in. As always, thanks for listening.